I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 13th. Dr. David Scare joins us for the remainder of this hour. It might be interrupted by Pastor Matt Harrison, who will be joining us live from Houston, Texas, where he's been elected president, the next president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But we'll take that as it comes. Our subject, the Lord's Supper. It is amazing. Jesus' words are altogether clear. They are some of the plainest words he ever spoke that are recorded for us, where he says, "This is my body, this is my blood, do this in remembrance of me." And yet those plain words are difficult to swallow. And many Christians have a hard time with them and try to find a way to explain them away, to say that Jesus cannot be saying what it is he seems to be plainly saying. So what should we believe, according to Scripture, about the Lord's Supper? Dr. David Scare is professor and chairman of the Department of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's a contributor to the book, Understanding Four Views on the Lord's Supper. Dr. Scare, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back, Todd. Thank you very much to have me.
Well, I understand, Dr. Scare, that Pastor Matt Harrison was actually your pastor for a time there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Your thoughts on his election?
Well, it's like this. Dr. Jerry Kishnick was in the first class that I had at the seminary in 1966. And not only was Matthew Harrison my pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but he also was a student of mine. And I was his advisor for the Master of Sacred Theology on the paper that he wrote on Hermann Sasse, and that's a history in itself. So there are a few connections that go back quite a ways.
Why do you think it is, Dr. Scare, that Christians, of all the things that Christians do disagree on that are taught in Scripture, the Lord's Supper has to rank among the biggest? Why is it there? How do you explain the diversity of beliefs about the Lord's Supper among Christians?
Yeah, in regard to the Lord's Supper, it's the one doctrine. Well, baptism is another one, but the Lord's Supper is the one doctrine in which the more essential differences that Christians have among others, which lie beneath the surface, come to the top so that we can see them. And in a very strange way, that even though there's a great diversification among how Christians look at the Lord's Supper, and I don't want to exaggerate this, when you get into a conversation with lay people from other denominations, they feel very comfortable with the Lutheran position. That when you explain the Lutheran position to them, it's not as if they are hearing something new for the first time. Because, as you said, the words are very clear, and to get around, there are so one of the best evidences for the correctness of the Lutheran position is that all other positions, in some way or another, involve a manipulation of thought that is extremely complex. And the real problem that Lutherans have is not so much with Catholics, but with the great Protestant majority. And in my estimation, where the presence of Christ is denied in the supper. Now, very few people deny the presence of Christ in the supper. The real issue is the identification of the bread with the body of Christ and the chalice with the blood of Christ.
Let's take a break right there. We will come back to our conversation with Dr. David Scare on the Lord's Supper and the differences among Christians. But joining us right now, live from Houston, Texas, where he has just been elected president-elect of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Matt Harrison, a good friend and longtime friend of Issues Etc. Matt, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back, Todd, and rather the most enormously humbling circumstances I've ever experienced in my life.
Matt, first of all, congratulations, but I'm interested your thoughts on being elected the 13th president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What's going through your mind right now?
I think a great sense of my own sinfulness and unworthiness, and just hoping deeply that all your dear listeners and friends will be fervent in prayer for us as we move forward in a very, very challenging time. That we might be faithful to Christ and His Word, the root and confession, and share that bright light everywhere we can.
Matt, there is without a doubt a divide in our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on issues of both doctrine and practice, and they're related to each other. What can be done to mend these differences, Matt?
As I've said many times, I believe the Word of God can unite us. I do not believe that coercion can unite us. We have to move hard. We have to look at ourselves. And if we have not compelled somebody else to our viewpoint, we must first ask ourselves, why is my position so weak? To the Scriptures. To the Scriptures. And repentance. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Matt, how would you characterize the biggest... I mean, obviously, this is a time for you to begin to gain a perspective on the task that is before you and the rest of us. But what do you think is the biggest challenge facing the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod right now?
I think the biggest challenge is how we deal with being Lutheran faithfully in this day and age, in this place, and do so as a body that cares for one another, as a true fellowship of Christ.
It's obvious that people have lost the confidence, the trust, if you will, in the efficiency of the LCMS headquarters. What can be done to restore that trust between congregations, pastors, lay people, and those who serve at the synodical level?
I think we must continue to be and increase our transparency and let people know exactly what's happening, particularly on the financial side, so that folks are aware of just exactly the challenge we face and why. And I think that will go a long way towards assisting us in the circumstance.
You said something from the dais right after you elected that struck me. You had address the assembled delegates for the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Matt, and you said, well, you have kept your spotless record of electing sinners to serve you as president. What did you mean by that, and why say that to the delegates and indeed to the whole church at a time like this?
I think as we know the Scriptures and the doctrine of grace, and to be placed in a position of such trust by this confessional Lutheran church body, basically the leading confessional church body in the world, is the most humbling experience one could ever undergo. And I'm deeply aware of my own weaknesses and shortcomings and the great need for the mercy and grace of Christ to tackle the task ahead.
Matt, two final questions for you, and then I know you're very busy with other press. You have also been elected in the context of a pretty radical restructuring of at least the governing structures of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is a big change for everybody. How do you hope we can proceed forward with the new structure that the convention has given the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Well, it's an enormous task. It covers enormous area of concern, multiple areas of concern. I did not ask for the kind of shift in authority to the president's office. And we will just have to, after the dust settles, begin working on, to the best of our ability, administering those issues and challenges faithfully under the cross and to the best of our ability. And I think the work at Ultimate Rural Relief and Human Care has been unbelievably excellent preparation for this work, but I know the challenges before us are exponentially greater. And so I plead for all your listeners whom I love so much, and thank you so much for having been on the show so many times, Todd, but appreciate you personally. This is the first interview I've done, by the way, and I wanted to do it with you.
And we deeply appreciate that, Matt. I cannot tell you how deeply we appreciate all of that. Finally, Matt, before we let you go, your general thoughts on the future of confessional Lutheranism.
Well, Luther says that the gospel is like a fahrende Platregen, passing rain shower, that waters a place for a time and then fades away for thanklessness. I pray that through repentance, as the Lord gives us repentance, that the gospel may rain down upon us intensely in the Missouri Synod even more, so that we may be a blessing, both here in the United States, reaching out to so many we need right here, and also providing the kind of steadfast leadership we need to in the world.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president-elect of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Matt, you have been very generous with your time, and thank you very much for the very first interview. I deeply appreciate that. And my prayers of my family, Jeff and Craig, and I know so many of our listeners, are with you and your family as you proceed on this big task. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with you as well. When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation on the Lord's Supper with Dr. David Scare, interrupted briefly, of course, by our conversation with Pastor Matt Harrison, president-elect of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, live this Tuesday, July the 13th. We'll have about 10 more minutes with Dr. Scare, and we ask your indulgence and his indulgence for that interruption as well. In the second hour of the program, I think what we'll do is revisit our interview with Pastor Matt Harrison for our second hour listeners, and then part two of our daily series on Christ Alone. We'll be talking today with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt about the law.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this hour of the program. Dr. David Scare is back with us again, briefly interrupted by our conversation with Pastor Matt Harrison. We're talking about the Lord's Supper. Dr. Scare, when we had to break away, you were saying that there are very few Christians who would deny a presence of Christ in the supper. But you said it really has to do with the relationship between the bread and the body and the wine and the blood. What did you mean by that?
It means that if you went into a Presbyterian church and you looked at their communion statement, you could interpret it in a Lutheran way, because nobody, I shouldn't say this, but the Reformed or the Protestants would not deny that Jesus is present in the assembly of believers. They'll hedge on that, of course. They'll say he's present according to his divine nature, but not according to his human nature. I'd like to say, if it's okay, Todd, something about the book and how that came into existence, Understanding Four Views of the Lord's Supper. It's not put out by Concordia Publishing House. It's put out by a good Reform publishing house, Zondervan. And the way it was done, and this may be of interest and value to the listeners, is that each of us was a Roman Catholic, a Lutheran, a Baptist, and a Reformed or Presbyterian person. We each had a right. We were given a limited amount of space, and we had to set forth our views on the Lord's Supper. And then each person, each of the contributors, saw what the other three wrote and wrote a response, but nobody could see what these responses were. And I thought this was a marvelous way of having theological discussion among people of divergent points of view. The Catholic priest, who's a dean of a seminary north of Chicago, he was utterly amazed what the Lutherans believed. He didn't realize that we were so close. While the Reformed obviously took immediate exception to the Lutheran position. And this is the kind of a book that I think would be very valuable for discussion among people, because it's kind of a difficult topic to bring up, of how we're different. And in regard to Matt Harrison's election as the president of the Synod, the one challenge, and he spoke about the confessional challenge, the one challenge that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has, and he has in particular, and that is so many churches throughout the world, Lutheran churches throughout the world that have been connected with the Lutheran World Federation are looking to the Missouri Synod as a bright city on a hill. And there are even Episcopal churches now who are looking for affiliation with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod because of the difficulties. So this is really a great era, and it is a great time, and it's for a person like the Reverend Mr. Harrison to come to the helm of a confessional church, a confessional Lutheran church.
Dr. Scare, we will have you back to do a fuller treatment of these subjects because we were interrupted before, but I would like you to, if you would, someone says, look, and we see it on so many altars where the Lord's Supper is served, do this in remembrance of me. And so many Christians look at that and they say, this is the defining phrase in Christ's words. It is a memorial meal. That's its essence. Not a means of grace, per se, but a memorial meal. How should we respond to this?
Well, I would respond to this in two possible ways. And that is the concept that God, some people say that we shouldn't ask God to remember us. And if you take those words within the context of the Old Testament, one possible meaning could be that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, God will remember the atoning sacrifice that Jesus offered for us. Now, the other thing is that it's simply not an act of our memory, an intellectual act, whereby we think of something in the past. See, here is something where there's a difference that I don't think many people realize, and that is, among Protestants in general, there is an opinion that we celebrate the Lord's Supper as a remembering the night on which Jesus first instituted the supper. Now, that's not just quite correct. And that is, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the purpose of the remembrance is remembering the death, the sacrificial death of Jesus, by which the blood was separated from his body, and by that separation of the blood from the body, a sacrifice was being being offered. We're not just we're just not continuing a meal tradition. We are actually participating. We are participating in the death of Jesus. The Lord's Supper has its origin in the cross. That's where it originates. That's where it comes from. And I think if that's kept in mind, it's very difficult simply to hold that this is a symbolical gesture or that we're doing some... I think that for some people, when you say in remembrance of me, it's like the 4th of July, in which we remember what the founding fathers of the nation did in Philadelphia in 1776. No, it's not like that at all.
Then also there are those who would say, among our Christian brethren, that what Christ says of his body, and you touched upon this before, and the bread, the blood, and the wine, simply cannot be so, because these are finite elements. They cannot deliver what is essentially now a body that is, what would they say, limited in its presence to the heavenly realms, can't be here because it's there. What's your response to that, Dr. Scher?
Well, you see now comes up the point that where we began, and that is that the Lord's Supper reveals or uncovers something which is much more significant, and that the real issue is the people who deny the presence of Christ in the supper, based on the argument that you just mentioned, they do not believe in a full and complete incarnation. They do not believe that the human nature is totally embraced into the divine nature, or that the divine nature is embraced into the human nature. They simply do not believe it. And here's another point. I think I don't want to say that the whole world is full of anonymous Lutherans. I think that in a way is true. I don't believe that that Christians who put such a high value on the person of Jesus just look upon him as a human being who himself is not God completely. St. Paul says, in him, that is in Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's completely embraced. And so their problem is, and you say, why is there any difference? That was your original question. It's a philosophical belief, and you articulated it, that the finite is not capable of the infinite. And this should really be reversed. We have to ask the question, is the infinite God capable of the finite Jesus? Now, if the infinite is not capable of the finite, then the infinite may not be so infinite. And this is one thing that we always have to be suspect of introducing cliches and philosophical slogans into the Christian faith that really have no justification based on the scriptures.
We only have 1 minute, Dr. Scher, before we have to let you go. What's at stake in these differences over the Lord's Supper among Christians?
What's at stake is that what is at stake is Christianity itself, because if the position that the bread cannot be the body of Christ is allowed to stand, then the next step is that the body of Jesus cannot embrace the Son of God completely. And taking that to its logical conclusion, you end up with Unitarianism or deism. And this is exactly what happened to Puritan theology in New England, which began in the 1600s, the 1700s. That morphed into Unitarianism very easily. And the emphasis then goes on the sovereignty of God, the person of Jesus takes a second place. And basically, you change the whole nature of Christianity, so it really isn't Christianity anymore.
Dr. David Scher is professor and chairman of the Department of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's a contributor to the book Understanding Four Views on the Lord's Supper. Dr. Scher, I again apologize for the interruption. It was necessary, but we'll have you back on for a fuller treatment of this.
No apology. It was an honor to be interrupted by the President of the Synod.
Thank you, Dr. Scher.
Okay, thank you.
Well, when we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. Wow, it already feels like it's been a whole 2 hours for me, but that's the kind of day it is around here. Hour two of Issues Etc. What we'll do is, for those of you who may have missed our live conversation with Pastor Matt Harrison, live from Houston, Texas, where he was just elected president-elect of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we will replay that interview for you in its entirety, and then we'll continue live our series with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on Christ Alone. Today, we've got to deal with the hard word of the law that not only tells us that we have sinned, but doesn't stop there. It doesn't just deliver knowledge of our sin. It drives that knowledge deep into the heart. It eventually, as Paul will say in the book of Romans, that law eventually, because of our sin, will kill us. Now, the law is good, the law is holy, and the law is right, but that which is good and right and holy proves deadly to sinners, and it does each and every time. We'll talk about the law and why it is necessary to hear that law before we can hear the comfort of the gospel of Christ alone for our salvation. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., Hour 2 on this Tuesday afternoon, July the 13th, in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.